मम्मी प्राइमरी हमारी, ठीक है गेट बंद कर दो।
गुड मॉर्निंग।
या गुड मॉर्निंग, दिस इज अभिनय कॉलिंग फ्रॉम BIS रिसर्च। वी हैड कनेक्टेड ऑन द लिंक्डइन रिगार्डिंग द डिस्कशन ऑफ सेलुलर रिपीटर। आई होप यू रिमेम्बर मी।
Yes, I hear you fine. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, how are you, sir?
I am good, thank you. I can tell you that I haven't worked much with cellular repeaters. That I have
Okay.
worked mostly with land mobile radio repeaters, but I do have some knowledge, so not a lot. On cellular.
Yeah, no problem, sir. So basically, I am a research professional working in BIS research, and so currently we are conducting a research study on cellular signal repeater market. So I assure you that I am not looking for any confidential information related to your company or anything, but just we
Yes.
are using the information from our discussion to create a general overview and understanding of the signal repeater. So basically, on completion of the research initiative, we would happy to share an executive summary of our report with all key insights of our report as a token of appreciation for your valued contribution, as a token of appreciation at a free of cost. So I will mail you when it gets published. So for kind information, I am in the last stage of publishing this report. So this report will publish before 10th of May. So
All right.
firstly, I will let you know the segmentation of the report, so you get an idea what we are covering in our report and what not. So basically, we have six segments. So basically, we have six segments in our report. So we have divided the market in by application type, which is vehicle signal repeater and in-building signal repeaters. By business model, we have classified the market into carrier and enterprise. By technology type, we have divided 2G, 3G, 4G, which is clubbed as a one, and 5G and above technology, which is clubbed as a one. By product type, we have divided analog repeaters and digital repeaters. And by component type, we have taken antenna, amplifier, and others. In others, we have taken like coaxial cables and like the connectors, which is coming along with the box of repeater. So as I said earlier, ki I am in the last phase, so basically I want to share the numbers so you can probably might maybe estimate it is a correct estimation of ours or not. So first of all, I want to know from you, according to you, what are the major challenges in the market and how the companies are aligned to tackle such challenges, and is there any government regulation to govern this industry?
Well, I can say that at least in the U.S., the cellular repeater market is dominated by a couple of companies. I think, gosh, I think Ericsson has some equipment. I know Samsung does as well. The important part in the U.S., though, is that the carriers, your Verizons, your AT&Ts, that they actually have qualified and accepted the equipment. It's not so much, I mean, there are FCC requirements for all repeaters, boosters, so that they don't interfere with other systems. But in terms of actually making sales of this equipment, you have to be qualified with a carrier. And once you're qualified with a carrier, you can then produce equipment and sell to support that carrier in building coverage, stadium coverage, whatever sort of application you might be able to do. Without that, without that qualification, you're locked out. And the carriers are not particularly interested in developing a number of vendors. Once they find somebody they like, they qualify them and they stick with them. So, you know, trying to be a vendor in that market is very difficult if you're not already in. I mean, that's kind of what I know about the marketing and sales aspect of it. The technical requirements are all over the place. For instance, for a stadium, an open air application, the sectoring of the system is very important, so that there isn't overlap and interference from one booster to another. And you can see how that could be a big problem in an open air environment. It's a little easier inside of a building because isolation is easier to attain.
Yeah, right.
There are also booster systems that some booster systems take in RF and simply repeat it with antennas that put the RF where it's needed. Other systems take in baseband, though, and basically recreate the RF signal, remodulate the RF signal on it within the booster itself. Boosters like that are a little more expensive, a little more difficult to make, but they're very useful because you eliminate the path that's going to the booster for repeating with all of its problems like multipath and other issues you have there. If you eliminate that RF path and just come in with a nice clean baseband signal, then it can get a lot easier. Some of these systems are able, I believe some of these systems are running off of Ethernet connections so that the baseband signal is actually coming in over an Ethernet path. It's not exactly Ethernet, but it's the same kind of cabling. And then the RF is generated directly from the baseband, or recreated, if you will.
Yeah.
That's some of the little bits that I know about it.
Yeah, right. So can you name some of the top players in the industry? Which one of them holds the largest share? Any rough estimation according to you?
Name the what? Sorry.
Can you name some of the top players in the industry which is related to cellular repeaters or manufacturing cellular repeaters?
Yeah. Well, one of the smaller ones is Wilson.
Yeah, I agree.
And they're in, I think they're in Nevada. I thought that Samsung was a big player, and I'm quite sure that Ericsson is. So,
okay,
those are the ones that I'm aware of.
So, basically, I have given a ranking according to my primary and secondary research, as well as with the interaction with the industry experts. So I have came into the conclusion that the first is belongs to Wilson, then there is a company called SureCall, then there is Nextivity, and so then one of the companies also there whose name is Uniden Holding Corporation. and etc. So these are the companies who are the repetitives, which is mentioned by the industry expert, because our focus, like, we are making the report globally, not specifically for any region. So our focus for the global. So I want to ask you, according to you, which region will witness the fastest growth in the coming years? For example, we are taking North America, Europe, Middle East, Asia Pacific and Japan, and China and UK we are taking as an independent country, and the rest of world. So amongst all the regions, according to you, which region will dominate cellular signal repeater in the coming decade?
Asia-Pac.
Yeah, Asia Pacific. Okay. So
I mean, there's they've got such a large geographical area, and in a lot of their rural areas are underserved. And it's the intention, I think, of the Chinese government to try to penetrate some of the rural areas, mostly so they can exert more government control. But you know, that's just the way they are.
So according to you, how much the market share is generated by carrier and enterprise business model? For example, how much you can give to the enterprise out of 100, and how much you give for the carrier? The business generated by both of them in the cellular repeater market.
Oh, I don't think I can answer that.
Okay. And sir, what's your take
I don't
in,
have
like,
that knowledge.
yeah, so what's, like, for example, we have seen that in the developed country 5G is launched, but we have also seen that the adoption rate of 5G is not much more as expected by the industry experts or the telecom companies, which they have forecasted for the upcoming adoption of 5G is not much at that level. So what's your take on 6G, and according to you, at what time 6G will be operational in developed countries?
I mean, I think the next big push is probably automotive applications. And I don't know whether you want to call that 5G plus or whether you want to call that 6G. But for vehicle safety, advanced driving, technology, the signaling from car to car, car to infrastructure, car to pedestrians, that's going to be, I think that's going to be the next big thing. We already have pretty reasonable data transfer speeds and connectivity in terms of our present cellular systems. But what we don't have is good car-to-car, car-to-infrastructure communications for safety, because you know, when you're roaring around the corner on a freeway at 75 miles an hour, and then you suddenly realize that people are stopped, and you go into panic braking mode, and perhaps get into an accident. Those kind of things can be completely prevented by car-to-car networks that communicate traffic issues. I think that's going to be huge. 5G, the 5G rollout kind of stalled for the fixed data systems. I mean, in terms of the cell phones, it works fine, but the fixed infrastructure that's supposed to serve data to homes, apartments, and what have you, it did not go well because the companies did not consider penetration of the signals at these frequencies into common building materials. So the coverage of fixed 5G systems is spotty at best. You'll have an apartment building where one side is covered and the other side is not. And that was not the plan. But it's because they really didn't do their due diligence. The frequencies are high. They don't penetrate common building materials very well. And so they needed either closer spacing of the micro cells or higher power. And rather than build out more cells, which is very expensive, they've been boosting the power level on the fixed sites. And now they're having trouble with the power amplifiers actually burning out. So 5G had rollout problems, and I don't know that 6G is going to be much better. So, that's why I believe that the more successful application will be the mesh networks with vehicles. Does that make sense?
Right. So coming to the regional shares, so we have found that with our research and the industry experts, North America is leading with the 34% of the market share, which is followed by Europe, which is approximately 24% of the market share, and then which is followed by Asia Pacific and Japan, which is 14%. And then there are rest of the countries. So is it a correct estimation according to you?
That sounds right. And I think, as you stated, at 14%, there's a big growth potential for Asia Pac.
Yeah, but as you said, they also said that in the coming decade, Asia Pacific will lead the market with approximately 20% of the CAGR. So they have also so. And it also matches with our research. So coming to the next segment, which is the application type, we have divided the market into vehicle signal repeater and in-building signal repeater. So we have came across with that, like in-building signal repeaters having an 86% of the market share, while vehicle signal repeaters containing only 12 to 13% of the market share because it is only used in the connected cars or autonomous vehicles.
It takes a while for the vehicle manufacturers to adopt the technology, so there's a pretty big delay there, but I think it'll still happen. It's just a little slower. And building materials have changed in many ways. Particularly the glass that's used in many of the buildings now does not pass RF,
Right.
because it's got things in it. So in-building coverage becomes fairly important. There are municipalities that require some kind of in-building coverage. Sometimes it's just for land mobile radio for first responders, but they may change that at some point to require cell coverage within certain buildings, such as government buildings and hospitals and what have you, because first responders, some of them are moving away from walkie-talkies and moving towards cellular service because it's ubiquitous and easy to use.
Right. So one question is
And those
also.
walkie-talkies.
One question is also.
I was going to say those walkie-talkies cost $10,000 a piece.
Right.
Right.
So.
The Motorola ones, Mark.
If we are taking a repeater with the same specification, like for example, one is analog and one is digital, and having a same specification. So when we are going to compare the cost for the both, so we have found that the cost of the digital repeater is 60-65% higher than the analog repeater. So is it a correct
Yes.
estimation?
Yes.
Okay, and
Sounds right. Might even be more, yeah. Because of
so we have,
the requirement
okay.
for the high-speed digital signal processing is not cheap.
Okay, and coming to the shares, so we have also find that digital repeaters is having only 28% of the market share, while analog repeaters is having 72% of the market share in 2021. So is it a, what's your opinion in that?
That makes sense. The analog ones are cheaper, and if they'll do the job, that's they're probably going to be selected. The digital repeaters have the are possibly produce less interference. The digital repeaters can basically squelch. If a channel is not being used, it's not broadcasting. But an analog booster, when there is no signal, may be broadcasting a noise, you know, a noise pedestal. If you know what I'm talking about, it's if the gain is there, it's taking thermal noise and it's just amplifying it. And so the noise pedestal causes interference to other systems. So it's the analog systems have an undesirable effect. Due to their interference, so the digital ones are better in some ways, and I think that given the choice of municipality, or it will probably go the cheapest route, but they might be forced to purchase the digital system due to interference requirements imposed on them by a government entity.
Right, and. We have, for example, like in the repeater, there are so many components. For example, there is an outdoor and indoor antenna. Then there is an amplifier in it. So we have found that 70 to 80% of the cost of the repeaters is only because the amplifier is contains 70 to 80% of the cost in the repeater. So is it a correct?
Unless you're talking about a digital repeater, I designed the PAs for boosters, and they can be very expensive. If you're trying to get a very linear power amplifier, it's it takes expensive parts. If it's a digital repeater and you're requiring a an expensive Altera DSP or a what's the other company? If you need a powerful DSP chip, you're going to end up spending a few hundred dollars on that. So that adds cost. I would say in the digital world, 25% of the cost might be due to the high-speed digital and a large percentage due to the PA. Yes.
Right. Coming to the last question, these are the set of questions from my side. So, is there any new technology or any new business expect that your company is focusing on, for which your company or any another organization which is focusing on, for which you think we can prepare the market report in the coming years or in the coming years?
I heard talk some time ago of massive MIMO systems where a number of small antennas are distributed over pretty much a downtown area, such that a person walking down the street is being seen by maybe up to 10 antennas. With sufficient digital processing, it's possible to phase align all of those antennas to a person who's walking down the street. And so you're basically, the antennas are producing a phased array that hits this one person, and it gives that it gives the ability to do very high data rates and very good signal noise ratios. I don't know if it ever went anywhere. It takes a lot of processing to do that, so the antennas would have to be distributed all over, and then there would have to be a central processor with some real horsepower to be able to track, several hundred people walking around, in the city, or more.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was an interesting development, but I didn't see it going anywhere. I have not seen it go anywhere, but I don't see any reason why it couldn't. Other than that, I think the carriers have learned their lesson from the 5G rollout. So I think that the next stage is probably going to be a little smarter, and they won't screw up the power levels. A higher speed system is going to require more microsites. Right now, the 5G systems are on telephone poles, and there really aren't that many of them. And they're relying on high power to get the job done. And that's not the answer, because, frankly, the high power levels are a little dangerous. They are on the tops of telephone poles. If they were actually at street level, they would be dangerous. They would, the radiation is, you'd actually feel it. It would be heating your skin. I think there's a limit to how high you can turn the power levels up on sparsely distributed antenna systems. So I think in order to do the next stage, it's going to require a lot of smaller sites at lower power levels. And I don't know how they're going to do that, but I'm sure they'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
So I want to thank you for taking your time and participating in our study. Your insights have enhanced our understanding of the topic and clarified our doubt. So if I get stuck at any point, can I reach out to you in LinkedIn or in your email ID? Is it fine for you?
My best email is probably Brian, Brian, at walkerengineering.tech, TECH.
Okay, yeah. It is mentioned in LinkedIn, with personal.
Yeah, I think that's what I have in there.
Yeah, and so as promised with you, I'm going to share executive summary once it gets published, the report. So thank you, sir.
Great.
Thank you so much for your time. It is nice talking with you. Thank you, sir.
It's my pleasure. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
You too.